Welcome to Mind Mastery and Manifestation, the number one podcast helping you rewire your mind to erase fear, unlock your greatest potential, and get the extraordinary relationships, businesses, and lives you've always wanted. We're your hosts, Dan Mendelo
and Sophie Kessler.
Welcome back to Mind Mastery and Manifestation. So the last episode was kind of a tour de force of what's been going on in our lives. Sophie and I have had quite a journey. I'm trying not to speak in hyperbole here. It's been fucking crazy. like a wild, wild last 8 months by now. And so we took some time off of recording, I think just because we had to take something off of the plate. But we're stepping back into it now and giving you a little recap of what you've missed. And so in the last episode, I think we got all the way up to May. And I think that for both of us is when things really, really got crazy. I know it did for me, and it also did for like the world, especially America. And so the story gets really interesting here. So I'm going to pass this off to you, Sophie, and let's continue the story.
Yeah. All right. So I'm just going to start with a trigger warning for any kind of traumatic pieces for anyone that's ever experienced any kind of birth trauma. Somebody sharing a little bit about that inside of this. So kind of playing off of April and going into May, April, I was in this woman's container that I had shared and was kind of like really taking off with a lot of things and really getting back into like that go, go, go energy with the business. I was about 34, 36 weeks pregnant on the back end of April. And I had just rehomed my dog, Clyde. So for anyone that's ever been following me for the last few years, you know all about little Clyde. Basically had him for 3.5 years since he was a puppy, and I had gotten him in my last relationship. And he's kind of been kind of like my rock throughout the last 3.5 years. And so in April, we had to rehome him because the biggest thing with Clyde is he's had inter-dog aggression issues since he was like a few months old, meaning he's never gotten along with other dogs. He's always been like very aggressive and very just like dominant and just not safe. Like he would try to attack other dogs. And so with the baby coming and the place that we had moved into, it didn't feel good to keep him here anymore. It didn't feel right for us. It didn't feel right for him. So we rehomed him, and I'll explain why this is a bigger issue in a second here. So that happened. And then on top of that, I was running the rebirth program that I had just launched, and it was going incredibly well. There was so much that I was teaching in there in regards to just business and marketing and everything that I was unpacking. And there was a huge thing that the person that I'd hired had put on for just the world. For anyone that's familiar, it was called the Queens of the Internet. And inside of that, I was in her high-level mastermind with a lot of her one-on-one clients and the other women that were in it. And there was just a lot of energy that was circulating. It was this really, really intense time. Everyone was feeling just like this mass amount of energy. And it was almost, we were like overwhelmed energetically and emotionally. But the container was kind of like this content of like, you just expand, you just expand, you expand, you expand, you expand. Not realizing how many of us were hitting a point of implosion. And when was it? On May 26th, that evening, I had like back-to-back calls and had finished the day just kind of like pumped but exhausted, just kind of like, okay, just did like 5 to 6 hours of back-to-back coaching, which was like, this is me at 40 weeks pregnant on 5 hours of back-to-back coaching calls, wrapping up the day. And I'm sitting down and I hop in the bath and I shower, just kind of unwind, and I'm laying down in bed and I just start to kind of feel this sense of like uneasiness in my body. And what I didn't realize was that I was starting to have contractions and starting to start the birthing process. And so I was just sitting at home. Rod was at the house and Clyde had been rehomed at this point, starting to feel this. And the contractions started to get stronger and they started to get closer together. And they were about 2 to 3 minutes apart. And so we call the hospital and the birthing center and we get everything set up so we can head out. and we leave to go to the birthing center. We get there around 11:30, almost midnight, and they go ahead, they bring us in, they measure us, and we're about 4.5 centimeters dilated at this point. And they go ahead and they register us and give us a birthing room. And the whole plan with this was originally wanting to do a water birth at the birthing center, but because of COVID and other medical reasons, we weren't allowed to. And so we had to go to the hospital, which was something that I wanted to avoid. I wanted a natural birth. And so as we're at the hospital, we're about 8 hours into laboring and the contractions are getting stronger and stronger. And we're about 5.5 centimeters dilated at this point. And I was getting to a point to where just emotionally, I was exhausted. And mentally, I was just exhausted. And the thing about hospitals and why I didn't want to have the birth at the hospital is that they don't let you eat during the laboring process. You kind of just have to push through. And so there was very little that was kind of coming into my system other than just drinking water. And I was just feeling more and more depleted, especially on the back end, having not slept very much the night before, working an entire day. I didn't really follow the rule book for birthing. And I had gotten to a point to where the contractions were just too painful. They were too strong. Because of COVID, the only person that was allowed in there was one person, which I decided was going to be Rod, which was the baby daddy. And I decided to ask for the epidural just because I couldn't take the pain anymore. And we were only 5.5 centimeters dilated. So we still had a long way to go after about 8 hours of laboring. They went ahead and they gave me the epidural around 4:44 a.m. They actually read the time and it was 4:44 a.m. And that went in and I was able to finally get some sleep. The contractions were like not too strong. I woke up about 2 hours later and my water broke. And the dilation started to get more intense. The contractions started to get more intense. So then we would basically push a button, more epidural would come. Essentially what happened is we went through another about 10 hours of labor, but the contractions weren't moving. They were not strong enough because of the epidural. My body was not like the contractions were no longer as strong. So we were no longer pushing forward. So then they had to introduce Pitocin, which would stimulate synthetic contractions. And so it started to become this like mix and array of synthetic drugs in my body. And where I was so out of it. I literally was not able to like stand up or get out of bed because of the epidural. So I was stuck in the bed and unable to actually, like I literally could not move myself. So the nurses had to come in and move me from side to side while my body was like pushing. And it was just a very unnatural experience. And about 25 hours into labor, we had gone to about 9.5 centimeters dilated. So pretty much almost there. And 100% faced. And what was happening is the way that the baby's head was positioned, he just wasn't coming out. And so even though we were trying to push and trying to get to this point of pushing, it was basically a high risk at this point to keep going forward. And it had been over 24 hours of being in labor. And so the doctor called in a surgeon who went ahead and just checked everything. And what they found was like, they said, you know, you're starting to overheat. There's meconium in the water, which means that the baby is under some distress. So we had to go in for a C-section, which was also unplanned and something that I didn't want to do. For anyone that has gone through the birthing process, for a cesarean, they don't actually put you under, you're awake. You're just numbed from the hips down or from the chest down. So the epidural, they would give me a stronger epidural. They brought us into the delivery or the operating room. And because of all of the drugs that were in my system, my body was shaking uncontrollably. Like I was physically convulsing and I couldn't stop. And so I was shaking on the table. I was cold and it was just like this really bright light. And I just was so exhausted and so tired. And just like, there's just so much in my system. And you could feel, even though there wasn't pain, you could feel the tugging and the pulling, which is the most bizarre experience I think I've ever had. Where they were literally like going in and cutting open my uterus to pull out the baby. And so after about 26 hours, the baby comes out and he's good. Everything is healthy. They sew me up and they take me into the other room. And at this point, it had just been a long, long, long day, a long, long experience. And so as I go to check my phone to just let my mom know that we're okay, I notice that there's a ton of missed calls on my phone. And a bunch of text messages. And so as I go to check my phone and I look at it and I see it's a bunch of calls from the family that had adopted Clyde the month before. And text messages basically saying that that Clyde had ended up attacking their son, who's about 5 years old. And Clyde had never had like aggression issues with any people before. So this was something that was just really bizarre. But they ended up deciding to take him to a animal shelter and they ended up putting him down on the back end of me giving birth. And so that for me set off a lot. There was a lot of trauma inside of that entire experience and a lot of grieving that had to happen on top of the fact that because of the cesarean and the major surgery that it was, I could not stand and I could not walk for a few days. I had to literally have help being able to even shower or go to the bathroom or do anything for that matter. And on top of that, having a brand new newborn baby who was just needing to be constantly held and then fed and all of the other things that come with motherhood. And so we were at the hospital for about 4 days before we got discharged, tired, exhausted, and just again, recovering from major surgery and not really able to like hardly walk without immense pain and a ton of pain medication. And so I come back, we get home with a newborn and we lose it. We couldn't get the baby to stop crying the first night. It was horrendous. I felt completely helpless because I couldn't even get up out of bed to do anything to help ease that or work with that. I was grieving the fact that Clyde had been put down and just feeling helpless about that. And there was just so much that was just overwhelming emotionally. And on top of this, I had to come back into the program that I was running because we had a week left of the container for rebirth that was still there. So I decided to push out the program 2 weeks and let the clients know that we would finish the last two calls 2 weeks later so I could have time to just kind of ground and recover. On top of that, there was just a lot of energy that was changing and shifting inside of the mentorship program. One woman had already stepped out. She decided that it was just there was something that was off and she just didn't feel like she could stay in it any longer. And this was one woman that I had initially been the reason why I had joined in the first place. It was her and her story and her energy that was kind of like, okay, there's something here. And so there was a lot of confusion for me in the back end of May going into June. A lot of confusion, a lot of just a loss of sense of self that comes with birth, with actually having a human come into this world. And a lot of grieving, my dog, grieving myself, grieving my old life, grieving so much, and just so many emotions. And so June was this really intense month for me of just letting go and surrendering and moving through just like everything that was coming up. It was one wave after another wave. And it felt like there were just constant highs and constant lows. And it was just intense. It was an intense month. It's kind of a blur looking back. What was happening is inside of that container that I was in with the mentor that I had hired, I just wasn't receiving the support that I needed. And I kind of had to pull back and really retract it in a lot of ways because it just felt like the answer was like, okay, we'll just cry it out. And like, you're going to grow through this. You're going to be stronger. But there was no like real like sustenance to the support and the healing that I was craving and that I was needing. And I had kind of gone to this point where it was just like, I needed to step out. And I was starting to see things in a way that I didn't see them before. And I was starting to realize in the process of becoming a mother, how much healing I had to do around my own mother wounds and my own father wounds and where I was projecting the healing that I was craving and for the mother wound onto my mentor and this container and so many other things. And so I was working through those triggers and moving through this piece of stepping out of what felt like essentially a, felt like a cult in a lot of ways. And it was very much this like energy of like everyone kind of feeding off of each other collectively and feeling the sense of belonging inside of there. But once I stepped out, it was like, okay, you're in a way, you're no longer part of the tribe. You're no longer part of the community. And so that was intense on the back end of June to make that decision and just say like, I can't be in this anymore. I need to take space to just like heal me and figure out what's going on with all of my stuff. And so June, I stepped out and I ended up taking some time to just like be with me and start to process a lot of the emotions and a lot of the pieces that were coming up. Inside of that time, I also decided to seek out support from other types of healers and mentors who were very well versed in motherhood and pregnancy and postpartum and all of the emotional work that comes with it, and started going deep into just this whole other realm of emotional expression that I hadn't really tapped into before. And what we started to really uncover, or what I started to really discover, is how much birthing, the process of actually birthing, because there's been other times, and I know for a lot of people, their experience is different, but for me specifically, the process of actually giving birth, it triggers something in you to where moving through that in your body, it, like, the way I can best describe it is it activates and triggers every wound that your soul has ever experienced from this lifetime and any other lifetime, related to birth, related to sexuality, related to sensuality, related to trauma. And it just activated everything, the parent wounds, all of it. And I was just so confused, because there was so much that I was feeling, that I was dreaming, things that were coming up that I didn't understand, that weren't mine. And I started to really start to do a lot of work with not just this lifetime, but also a lot of past life pieces and a lot of karmic stuff on top of what was happening globally with COVID and then the Black Lives Matter movement, and navigating all of that with having a platform and being somebody that has a face in the public eye. And it was intense. June and July were intense months. Right now we are on, what, day 3 of August? Although it feels like it's been a lifetime. July was really, really powerful, because what ended up shifting is, as I started to do this deep healing work, it was so interesting to see how much was also healing for my clients and how much was healing inside of just a way that they were supporting their clients. And so it started to become this really beautiful ripple effect. And I think the best way that I can describe what's happened, especially in July, was the more that I surrendered to my healing, the mentor that I ended up deciding to work with on the back end of this, who has been doing a lot of healing work with me, is she said, you know, just, I don't want you doing anything in business except just working on your emotional stuff and just trusting that the universe is going to provide for you and you're going to be fine, but you need to do your emotional work. And that's exactly what July was, a month of just complete surrender, diving deep into all of it. And it was incredible to just see consistently May, June, July, all months where the revenue that was coming in was it was huge. And it was nothing that I had to necessarily do. And as I started to move through this process in July, it was like this beautiful sense of coming back home. And July was like, as I was shedding and shedding and shedding and purging so much, it was like I was finally realizing, like, the truth of me again, which is an interesting thing to say. But for those who have experienced it, where you become so inundated with information and identities and beliefs and all of that, especially people who are very, very big seekers in the spiritual or personal development world, it's easy to kind of lose your sense of self inside of all of that, and easy to kind of buy into everything that's being in the propaganda and in the media and all of the stuff that you're seeing. And so for me, this period of isolation was so powerful, because it allowed me to really find my truth again and come back to my center and come back to me, which also activated a lot of this piece around the sensual work that for so long I had as an undertone of my business, but never really fully owned completely, which is ironic, because big part of the branding and my business has always been around shameless self-expression and really just like owning all of you. And it's funny to kind of see that now and see where it's like, oh, okay, this is that final piece of like you really stepping into and owning this work. And so as we're coming out of July, it's been a beautiful process for me and going into August of really deepening into this work of what I like to call self-liberation. It's a process where we get to free ourselves, and it's kind of been the thing that I've been doing. And it's not through action, it's through the emotional process of really diving deep into what we're feeling and what we're experiencing and going into the shadow and going into the darkness and giving ourselves permission to actually be in it. And I think for so long, what had happened is there was such a mass disassociation from those pieces, because there was such a huge belief in the industry and online and in the world, socially and culturally, that we don't feel those things. that's not, like, if you go into that, then that's what you're going to attract, that being inside of your darker emotions is what's going to perpetuate negativity. But what I didn't realize, and the missing link for me and all of that, and what really woke me up, is the fact that I'm feeling and experiencing and I have these thoughts or these things, is the fact that it's living in my system somewhere. And until I purge it, until I experience it, until I process it, it's still in there, even if I try to avoid it and ignore it and try to meditate my way out of it or breath work my way out, whatever it was. So doing this healing work has been transformational. And I think this is a big part for me going into the rest of this year, and God knows what's going to happen in 2021. If you're listening at this time, then you know. But at this point, as we're recording this, it's a wild ride, and it's been a full thing for me of just really coming back to that piece of surrender, coming back to that piece of full emotional embodiment, not just the lightness, but also diving into the darkness and really coming back into a place of reclaiming ourselves, reclaiming who we actually are, and being okay with all of the messiness that's inside of it, and not being afraid of our emotional depth, and really allowing ourselves to come back home to a place of finding pleasure, not just sexually, but in the sense of, like, I can actually experience deep joy in my experience of grief, in my experience of anger, in my experience of all of this, because it's expanding this window for me to really feel the polar emotion. So for me, it was like grief also gave me experience of deep joy. Sadness gave me this experience of deep happiness. The more that I felt my pain, the more that I felt this sense of expansion and pleasure, just so empowering, because for so long I just felt, in a way, emotionally numb because I was avoiding going into those darker emotions. And so, going on a little bit of a tangent here, but yeah, that was the last 4 or 5 months now.
Oh man, there's so many things in there. I mean, I see a lot of this as well. I saw it more and more and more and more, and then people started asking me about it as well. This whole idea of bypassing, mm-hmm. right? Like, people are using spirituality and growth as an escape.
Yes.
Which is not what it is at all.
Yes.
In fact, it's really weird that if, to me, what I see is ignorance, mm-hmm. is that if they actually understood what the growth process was, what evolution was, they would never do that, because when you start trimming your experience like that, and like, you're limiting yourself, it's the exact opposite of mm-hmm. growth. It makes no sense. And like, in my experience, at least with life, if you try to avoid that, it's going to come back at you, and it's not going to be pleasant anymore. You know, it's like, you avoid the little pain, it becomes a really big pain. Mm-hmm. It's just like what we're dealing with kind of a lot right now in America, is we've kicked the can down the line so many times, but we forgot that every single time we give it that little kick, it gathers dirt. And it became this avalanche that we're dealing with now. And people are like, where is all this coming from? It's been there. We just preferred not to look at it because it was uncomfortable. And now we're like, oh my God, we should have been prepared. You could have been prepared. We could have all been prepared. We mm-hmm. chose not to. Mm-hmm. And now we have to suffer the consequences. And if anybody hears this as a cynical message, you're kicking the can down the line too. Just wait. Just wait. It's coming after you too. None of us are special in this. Mm-hmm. And I also had a very similar experience with that, you know, and it's interesting to see the themes that you're talking about, as, you know, the emotional numbness, the feeling out of place, the being forced to deal with stuff, mm-hmm. you know, like when you described your birthing process, what I heard was a lot of, you know, I didn't want this. I tried to set this up perfectly. I thought I knew what I wanted. I thought I knew what I needed. And it was totally out of my hands. Mm-hmm. Like, the whole thing was just like, when it happened, how it happened, where it happened, all this stuff is sort of like, there go all my plans. There go all my dreams and my visions of what I thought was beautiful. And mm-hmm. here comes this version of reality that is very different and, in a way, completely uncontrollable, but also very necessary in a lot of ways. And I see what we're going through as a world, as a nation, as a culture, as individuals, you know, as family units or whatever. I see that this year, that happening over and over and over again, where we thought we knew what this country was. Guess what? We thought we knew what this year would be. Guess what? No. We thought we had so much control over our lives, over our businesses, over our relationships, over ourselves. And guess what? No. And that hurts and it sucks and it's frustrating and it's scary as well. But like, you can't run from it. So what are you going to do when you can't run anymore? It's like, it's happening whether you like it or not.
Yeah. And here's an interesting thing to add in there on top of that is the birthing experience is such a beautiful metaphor for all of this. Because here's the thing, we as a culture and as a society have been trying to just constantly expand without contracting. And so it's kind of like, no, let me just get stronger and get stronger and get stronger and just be better and better at avoiding and ignoring and avoiding and ignoring. And let me just keep coming back to a place of realigning to a higher power, realigning to a higher power, realigning to a higher power, never actually going into the depths. And this is exactly what you're talking about. Like kicking the can, and the analogy that I use is it's like you have this weed inside of your body, this tree that's like deeply rooted in these experiences that you've had as a child. And as you've had more trauma and more experiences, but never looked at it, it just kept growing and growing. And sometimes you have things that come up and they trigger it. And instead of actually going to the root, we just cut off the branches. It's like, oh, let me just trim the tree versus actually uprooting it. And this is what's happening with a lot of society. We're kind of just like, oh, it's okay. We'll just, you know, trim that or trim that and not actually look at what's in the core. And so for me, this whole experience and the way that I look at it is we ask collectively, we've been asking for this mass awakening. We've been asking for this like mass, like raising the consciousness of the planet. This has been a very popular phrase and term over the last few years. But what we have to realize is that requires a realization of, oh shit, here's all of these things that have been living inside of us and living around us that we have been unconsciously avoiding for however long it's been. And what's happening right now is we're doing this deep emotional purge, this deep emotional clearing, so that we as a collective can actually clear out all of the stuff that's been inside ourselves, inside of our systems, inside of our world, so that we can then create what it is this new world that's birthing that new world. But for me, in the process and in the metaphor of birth, you have to go through the contraction to be able to have the expansion. And that, I think, was probably the most powerful experience from the birthing process for me, was realizing that the more that I resisted my contractions, the more painful they got and the harder it was. And when I just tried to push without a contraction, things didn't work and I just became more and more exhausted. And so it was learning how to surrender to and work with my contractions, work with those moments when we actually go inward and we do the deep healing, when we go into our grief, when we go into our pain, when we go into our darkness, and we move with it and we allow it to actually transcend with us versus just trying to suppress it and pretend we're not feeling it and fight through it and just try to be stronger and stronger and stronger. It's like, no, the strength is in our ability to actually surrender and move with that energy versus trying to force and push through it.
Yeah, it's the idea that contractions are bad, right? That this is something going wrong. Yeah. That so many people come to me and say, Dan, you know, I just want my life to be easy all the time. How do I do that? Like, go find someone else. I can't do that for you. Like, and I won't do that for you. Even if I had a way to do that, I would never do that for you. Mm-hmm. That would be such a crime, right? Like, we feel like, oh, I'm not allowed to have bad days. Yes, you are. You should have bad days because they're good for you. Like, in Chinese medicine, you're supposed to get sick every couple, you know, every season, right? Because what happens when you get sick? Your body takes a little hit, wakes up, you have an immune response, you have an overhaul where you don't just kick out the virus or the bacteria, you kind of flood out a bunch of other toxins too, right? And you come back even stronger. I'm not supposed to, you don't need pneumonia every single season, but if you avoid the little colds here and there, it's just like everybody's putting on like antibiotics over their hands, right? What did people tell us, you know, for many, many years? Hey, you can't keep on disinfecting your hands every single second of every single day because you're preventing your body from building an immune response. You need to have that immune response. You need to have these moments of not feeling so good. And if you avoid that, well, eventually something's going to come and it's going to be really nasty and your body will just not be prepared for it. So we need these. We need these moments. And, you know, for me, I found that the greatest growth always comes right on the back end of me falling apart in some way, small or big.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it sucks. It sucks a lot. It's not fun laying on the ground wishing you're gonna die. It's not. I had that a lot this year. I'm not proud of it. It's not cool. It's not a great response to just be like, hey, you know what was really awesome? I kind of wish I died because this sucked so hard that I got to a breaking point because I want to feel like I'm strong all the time. I do. I've known what it's like to be weak. I don't want to be weak again. But feel like with me as well, is take it out of my hands. When I was talking about my story in the last episode, we got up until May. And this is, you know, suddenly being quarantined. I live in the Fairfax district of LA, pretty dense. And people, I could feel the unrest. I could feel people getting pissed off with each other, with the government. You can't tell me what to do. Everything, everybody freaking out, buying ungodly, unreasonable amounts of toilet paper as if that was going to be their savior. Which, like, to me, I'm not going to let that go, guys. I'm going to make fun of us forever for that one. I'm included. I bought a bidet, but I'm part of this, you know? I felt it. Seeing how things were, you know, beginning to shut down and people freaking out about that. And me looking around, like, I can't even go outside. Like, the things that I loved about this neighborhood, the things I love so much about it, they're all gone. Even my apartment, which I love so much. Living with a cat and a dog that wouldn't let me go to sleep and living with a girlfriend who was going through her own stuff and neither one of us was dealing with it well, dealing with our own stuff well. We both were dealing with it about as badly as possible, I'm going to say. Like, we both super fucked up and that sucked. And I wasn't sleeping and my body was responding very badly to it. And smoking weed every night just to try to get me to go to sleep. And that just wasn't working anymore. The one thing that had helped me for like a year and a half wasn't working anymore. And I was waking up, looking at my face in the mirror, being so puffy, I couldn't recognize myself. Literally, that's not hyperbole, literally staring at myself like a horror movie and just losing my mind and just trying to hold on. And just seeing everything slow down, like my business was slowing down. At least I was like, hey, at least I could, if I can make money, that's a sign of safety. It's some fucking comfort. Give me anything for the love of God, anything. Just one thing going right in my life for fuck's sake. And I couldn't have that. I didn't have that. And then George Floyd happened and shit went crazy. And there were riots. 3 blocks away from my house. I support the movement, but there comes a point, I was way beyond it, where I needed to take care of myself or I really thought I was going to die. Like, I didn't know what was going on in my body. I didn't know what was going on in my mind. I was spinning completely out of control. And, you know, my girlfriend is kind of a social activist and I love that spark in her. But when the riots, you know, when the protests were going on, my body would be filled. I wouldn't even look at the news. I stopped watching the news a long time ago anyway, but now I'm like, absolutely not. But my body felt it anyway. I couldn't even hide from that. I couldn't even like lay down and heal. And my body would be coursing with adrenaline and cortisol all day. And I didn't, obviously, I was trying to hide from the world, but my body was still freaking out. And my girlfriend would come back and she had been at the protests and been, you know, saw some things that we later needed to heal, some traumatic events there. And so now I'm like, oh my good God, now I have this energy in my home. That's it. I'm going to shoot myself. Like, I have no escape. I can't go outside. I can't stay indoors. I can't sleep. I can't do anything when I'm awake. None of the things that I thought were medicine are working. None of the things that I thought would give me confidence were there. My body was just falling apart, losing weight, like pounds per day. By the time it was done, I had lost 20 pounds, weighing less than I did in high school, in my senior year in high school. And I had these moments where I'm like, I am fucked. Capital, bold, period. There's no way out of this. And I'm like, that's it. I'm screwed. I don't know what to do. I'd started working with Safira, the Oracle I'm still working with now. And, you know, she'd tell me like, listen, you're going to be able to heal these things. I'm like, I don't see how. Like, because also my body couldn't produce any helpful chemicals. All I had was like toxin in my blood. So I couldn't even have a modicum of hope. And realizing like I needed out. I needed space. We needed to get out. But my relationship is really on the rocks. And I'm thinking like, well, what do I do? Cause do I break up like here and that? And then I'm like truly alone. And I'm like, I'm already freaking out. Like, I don't think I can handle any more pressure, any more stress. And something told me like, that's also a bad reason. That's no, you're not allowed to give up everything just because you feel like shit. And so Jess and I started looking for another place, and into June. In June, we moved. And instead of looking for something that was going to be easier financially, because I was scared of finances, even though I had some savings, but I'm like still terrified. Because at that point, I'm terrified of anything, everything. We moved back to Sherman Oaks, back to suburbs, into a 3-story home, and set things up where I'm like, listen, I don't care about what society thinks about what relationships should look like. I'm getting my bedroom, you're getting yours. She had an issue with that. I'm like, I don't care if you have an issue with that. If you have an issue with that, leave. Like, this is where I am now. I'm not negotiating anything ever again when it comes to my health. Fuck that. No. Like, so we set that up, and then there's an office on the first floor, which is meant, I guess, to be the master bedroom. I just bought that. I'm like, I'll pay more in rent. That's mine. Mine to the point where like no one is allowed in this without my explicit permission. This is my sacred sanctuary. Stay the fuck up. This is where I was at. I was like, I'm attacking everything that even comes as a threat to me, even in the idea, because like I didn't know what to do. That's how bad I was. And so we moved in and we got things set up, and I started sleeping better. Still absolutely terrified. Still just shaking. And I remember going to see Safira once in person, who was then also splitting or sharing office space with my good friend Abby, who's an amazing teacher, far beyond the word coach. And I remember going there and just I could not stop shaking. I couldn't get rid of the just nonstop terror, and thinking like, I need this. I need to go see my 2 moms right now so badly. Like, I feel abandoned by everything. I just need comfort from anything, anywhere. And I just remember feeling so broken. We started changing things. Safira started changing my diet. I said, I'm like, hey, you know, this is what your body needs. Like, you got to stop doing whatever you thought was healthy. You need to focus on healthy fats. Right. And then we moved on into fruits. And she started me on working with emotions. She saw in one of the spirit shot episodes that I had done that before we started, just technology was not having us at all. And she saw me really containing my frustration and everything, and I didn't even notice it. And she's like, ah, here it is. This is why you're so sick. You've been avoiding yourself. Like, you've been hiding from yourself in such a way you don't even know that you're feeling an emotion, and you don't even know that you're repressing the emotion. The entire thing goes on beyond your awareness. And I'm like, okay, Because of course, if it's beyond my awareness, how can I be aware of it even when she tells me, right? Dunning-Kruger paradox. It's super fun, right? You don't know what you don't know, and you can't be aware of what you're not aware of, so you're just not aware of it. So she's like, do you feel a lot of emotions? I'm like, yeah, I feel anger. I feel like, she's like, no, you feel like good emotions, like positive emotions. I'm like, not really, unless I'm really messed up. She's like, ah, I see. So she started working on me, like just going back into feelings of joy, even if it was just for like a second, and remembering things that could be joyful experiences, even though I might've been on a, you know, really drunk or whatever, just recalling them, feeling it, until what she described, the feeling of like a workout, like when you know, like, that's it, you know, time to put the weight down, I'm done. And that would last, no joke, for like a second. I could hold on to a positive emotion for a second by myself before I got exhausted, physically exhausted. It was such a weird experience. And so, you know, I got my reps in and I started working on that, and I changed my diet and eating enormous quantities of fruit, like enormous quantities of, like, maybe 10 whole fruits a day minimum, and just like butter and healthy fats and like all the things that I never ate before, like never really ate, because I thought, like, oh, all the sugar, all this like fat, like this is bad, right? And the crazy thing is that with, you know, some of the other techniques that she gave me, in June I started coming back, and my sleep was by no means good. For me, a good night of sleep would be catastrophic if you're used to getting good sleep. Like, for me, I'm like, hey, I got a great night's sleep. Any other normal person would be so fucking pissed and just like miserable day done, right? But here I was actually getting better sleep, you know? And like things were starting to feel better. I wasn't so puffy every morning. And I started feeling at least not so terrible. And Jess and I started putting some things in place for our relationship, and we started getting better. And the space was really good. And it's funny that lately we've been talking about how, you know, she was raised thinking that relationships looked a certain way. If you slept in the same bedroom, and if you didn't, that means that there are problems. But then she started looking at the relationships she knew in her life, and all the people who slept in different bedrooms are having the best long-lasting relationships. And I was talking with my brother and he said the same thing. And we're like, what is this? Why? Because we have very different sleep schedules. Jess is much more of a night owl, right? And why would I try to force her to going to bed earlier than she wanted to, earlier than she could? And like, no, you're not allowed to like watch a movie at night because I need to go to sleep. Meh. What is this? Or why would I try to bend myself? And I wake up way earlier than her, obviously, because I don't really sleep. Why would I try to like screw myself up in the morning because I'm trying to conform myself to her? Why are we trying to hurt each other here so that we can spend the time that we're unconscious together, that we're not even aware of? Like, that made no sense. And we started embracing this idea that what if our relationship is the way, like, supposed to look the way we want it to look like? What if we've set up these structures and flows that allow us to be happy, society be damned? Why are you supposed to tell us what our relationship is supposed to look like so that we can be happy? Don't we know that? And we started putting in these rules, and things started getting even better. And I started doing this around my whole life, my flow, my business, my everything. And I spent a lot of time doing self-care, which I'd never really done before. I thought self-care was watching movies all day, playing video games all day, right? Because there, I'm not working so much. It's self-care. No, it wasn't. More meditation, more time in the sun, more Epsom salt baths, more just chilling out, not doing anything, more listening to myself, more instead of like reading all the time, because I thought that was self-care. But no, it wasn't. That was another form of me trying to achieve, me trying to grow without that contraction that we were talking about, allowing myself to contract and being okay with it and not trying to fix it or heal it, to feel it instead, to just feel. And I started feeling. Now, this is weird because For most of my life, I thought I was a sociopath because I couldn't feel emotions. And I thought I was some sort of robot. You don't want to know how many times I looked up the definition of sociopath, honestly, just to like, maybe now it's changed. Nope. Looks like I'm still crazy. That's cool. I wonder when I start killing people. When does that start happening to sociopaths? These are literal thoughts that I had in my head. And then doing this work brought back realizations that like, no, I'm not crazy. I'm just hurt. And that's okay. And that I've been hurt my whole life. And I rejected myself at such an early age. And I turned off my positive emotions. Because when we feel positive emotions, that's when we are ourselves. And it wasn't okay to be myself. So I turned them off. And I turned off my empathic abilities because I didn't understand them. And I thought they made me crazy. And I thought they made me weird. And here all of a sudden, these realizations of who I really am came back. Understanding why I was the way I was. Why I was so drawn to nature and away from people. Funny realization to have when you mostly called yourself a life coach for your, you know, the last 11 years. I'm like, oh my God, things are starting to make sense in a way that, and then the other thought came like, wait, is this crazy? Am I being crazy now? How do I know when is like not crazy and is crazy? And I'm like, this sounds crazy, but this other stuff sounded crazy. And I thought I was crazy. Maybe I'm not crazy. Is this crazy? Like, it just spirals of nuttiness at a point where I'm like, how about I just let go? How about I stop trying to make sense of things so much and just allow things in and just trust? I haven't done that before. What if I just trust? And June leading into July was all of this. And beginning to really feel positive emotions again without needing drugs. I stopped smoking weed and just started to let myself just be and be present. And stop trying to hide from things. Instead, leaning into them, whether it was pain or joy or purpose or feeling lost. And I started to heal, like really heal. And emotionally as well, because, yeah, you know, a lot of times I thought that I was doing the healing. Like, you know, like you're saying, Sophie, like we have this tree in us. We got to get to the roots. And I'm like, I thought I got to the roots. No, I didn't. I got to the comfortable part of the tree. I got to the trunk of the tree and I thought that was the roots because I was not allowing myself to really go into the deep discomfort and do the digging that sucked. And I wasn't allowing myself to such a point where I didn't even know it. I wasn't aware of it. It was almost like I didn't know that trees had roots. I'm like, I'm working on the whole tree, right? Like it starts at the ground and goes up. Doesn't it? That's a tree. Well, apparently, no, it's not. And I didn't really know that. And here I was. And I'm not saying I'm getting to the roots now. I think I'm acknowledging roots now. Let's say that, you know, like, at least I know there are roots. And okay, like, I'm starting to work on them. Fine. Like, cool. I'm uncovering some of the roots. But here I was suddenly feeling again and, oh man, try to understand something. It's almost like if you never saw color your whole life and suddenly you saw color, wouldn't it be a little overwhelming? Beautiful, sure, but a little overwhelming, yeah? Like I'd feel a little bit of joy and just start weeping, crying and do my best. Like, you're not running away from this now. You're not running away from this. This is good. Like lean into this, cry more, like feel it, man. Feel it. This is medicine. This is good. And feeling purpose and feeling real passion and feeling protected and feeling held and feeling all these things and just like crying like a crazy person for like 2 weeks until it started to settle in and become like normal or a little bit more normal where I guess still do cry quite a bit. But at least it's not all the time, every day. Not all the time. That's a lot. Multiple times a day. That's accurate. Multiple times a day, every day for 2 weeks after not being able to cry for 36 years, maybe. That's crazy, right? Having a block on crying and all of a sudden crying all the time. It was like the Hoover Dam just burst. and starting to know myself and starting to get in touch with myself and realizing, oh my God, like I've been so far disconnected from myself this whole time that I'm like, technology hates me and I don't know why. I suddenly understood, like, I get so much clarity. I get so much strength, so much resource, so much energy from plants. No wonder I always wanted to fill my space with plants and be around plants. No wonder why I want to wear green all the time. No wonder why as a child I wanted to be in the forest all the time and my parents would take me to beautiful cities and I just didn't care. I'd find myself just zoning into parks and zoning into trees. And when I went camping with my friends, I would just go off for hours. And I didn't know why. There's one time that my friends literally came back and were all on mushrooms, but whatever. They found me like sitting in a tree. I'd just been sitting in a tree for like 2 hours. Happy. Not even thinking of anything, just like being and just enjoying it. My friend, it took them a half an hour to convince me to come out of the tree and hang out with my best friends at a party. I'm like, no, I'm really happy here. I don't know why. I want to stay here. This feels good. And I started to get it. I'm like, oh, that's why technology doesn't work around me. I meant to harmonize with like the life, nature. Technology is on the opposite side. I'm like, I don't need to make this $50,000 a month that was put in my head by all these freaking business coaches. I don't need to do the same things. Like, no wonder, you know, all these techniques from business coaches never worked for me. No wonder living the way that society taught me never worked for me. No wonder I had to lose all this weight because the way that I was treating myself wasn't working for me. And I learned the meaning of alignment for the first time in my life by being so out of alignment for so long. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't even know what I was doing for my clients up until now. I wasn't a business coach. I wasn't a life coach. I wasn't, I was helping them remove the misalignments from their lives and finding out what is really right for them, how to live in accordance with their higher purpose and path, with their higher beings. And even as I say this now, my whole body goes, yes, fucking finally, took you long enough, right? Because I'm stubborn and oblivious. That's a really bad combo for a guy to be, okay? Like, damn. Finally, I started finding my way back home. And July was an exploration of that, of learning how to commune with nature and like really like talking with plants and using my connection, literally drawing resource and energy out of the earth to then send energy to heal people of COVID in days, to heal a senior citizen in days where you know that you can get COVID for upwards of months, right? And leading in to even, what was it, last week? I have no concept of time. 2 weeks ago, I think, which is in July, right? Oh my God. Sense of time is so broken that I got an infection on my finger. And to give you a little bit of an idea of this, it went back 10 years. I got an infection on my finger when I was on a business trip. And it just steadily got worse and worse, a little worse, a little worse, a little worse. I didn't, you know, I tried everything I knew what to do and it didn't work. By the time I got back home and went to urgent care, doctor literally ran out of the room, came back, said that if I had come back 2 or 3 days later, that they would have had to take my arm to prevent the infection from getting to my heart and killing me. And that's traumatic. I didn't know because, hey, I was blocking my emotions at the time. How fun. So they gave me 3 injections of antibiotics. They were so big they had to put it on my butt. Then they also had to give me an experimental medicine that 50-50 shot would either heal the infection or dry out all my ligaments in my body to the point where they'd snap at the same time. Fuck me, right? Took it. Thank God it healed. Took a couple weeks. Finally healed. Here I am 2 weeks ago. And because I had COVID, right, the whole thing like stops healing. Here I am. And in 48 hours, the infection went from non-existent to as bad as it was 10 years ago. And it took 10 days then to get to that point, 48 hours now. And I freaked out. And having direct messages, you know, direct messages of like, hey, things are going to get better. They weren't. They just weren't. Feeling like hell. Feeling really bad. Feeling betrayed. Feeling lost, feeling confused, feeling lied to, And again, am I crazy? Is all this healing that I've done nuts? Am I actually speaking with spirit, or am I just losing my mind? What is going on? And I do these daily energy readings, Facebook, and I did a reading and I got the message that today is about rising up, not falling back into old habits, not falling back into old cycles, not falling backwards, moving forwards, no matter how hard it is, you got to find your courage and do it. Meanwhile, getting texts from other people who are talking about themselves, telling me that what they realize is that without trust, there is nothing. I'm like, oh God, okay, fine. And I'm traumatized, right? And now because I can feel things, the trauma like that I didn't deal with back then is coming up now and losing my mind. And dealing with the idea that like, look, I can heal other people, but I never believed I could heal myself because my entire life I'd try to heal myself and try to make things better for myself. And I couldn't. I always had to rely on other people. And here I finally made the decision to do it and started crying and started losing it. And after the energy reading that was on Facebook, you can see it crying on it. Put it down, went into the closet to get something and just wept. And on the other side of that, the terror had gone, the self-doubt had gone. And I knew that I could do this and I had to do this. And this was an initiation for me. If I'm going to carry medicine for the people, it can't be out of line. I can heal everybody except for myself. Well, I'm a person, aren't I? That makes no sense. Right? So I did my thing, and with herbs and with energy medicine, within 24 hours, I achieved healing that took me 3 shots, experimental antibiotics in 2 weeks, 10 years ago. And even now, the finger that I'm looking at right now looks way more healed than a freaking bug bite I scratched 3 weeks ago. That's taking longer to heal. I'm like, ah, maybe I'm not crazy. Like, maybe this was real because I could not keep on avoiding the contractions that I had within myself. Maybe I could not keep on not dealing with these problems, and that maybe all of this struggle and all of the pain and everything falling apart throughout my life was making me deal with things I had not dealt with before, or that I thought I had but didn't. Maybe I thought I had, but I didn't get to the roots. And that takes us to now, where I'm healing even more. And my relationship with Jess is fantastic. And my sleep is still awful, but I can deal. Like, my days are great. My moods are fine. My mind is here. And starting a little bit of workout here and there and just like, you know, getting back in there. And putting my life back together in a beautiful way. And my business has a new direction. And I feel supported. And my communication with Mother Earth and with spirit has never been tighter. And it's weird looking back and seeing so much trauma and so much pain and so much powerlessness and hopelessness and weakness and saying, thank God it happened. And thank God it happened so quick. Right? That it's not like drawn out over years, that it happened in 6 months. And yes, it was awful. And yes, I would never wish this on anyone. And I really, really, really hope this never happens again. But if it does, I know I can get through it. And if it does, I know that it's happening to bring me somewhere I could not go without it. And I look around, I'm like, this is what's happening to us as a country, to us as a people, to us as a world, to us as humanity. And some part of me just hopes that we can just rip the Band-Aid off quick and get through this together, because we need to, you know, we have to feel it. We have to be here. And on the other side really is hope and really is strength in light and love and alignment and wealth and abundance and joy that we had not experienced before. Because we were so focused on only feeling those things that we had actually blocked ourselves from receiving them. And that brings me up to today. Right?
Oh, man. What a wild ride. It's so funny because it's like one of the things that I've noticed. It's like we're coming back into this fluidity, whereas before it was like, no, we need structure. Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because when I think about it now, it was like the need for so much structure was almost to try to contain and avoid actually the uncontrollable flow of emotion. And so it was like we tried to create so much structure and business in our lives so that we could maintain a certain front of what's comfortable and how we show up and how we feel and all the things, so that we don't go into like all of these things and we're trying to control to make sure that we don't get triggered and we don't get activated and we don't feel and we don't go into like that ugly stuff that's in there. But it's been, and as you're experiencing, such a blessing to just kind of like remove so much of that structure and just give ourselves permission to be in free flow of our emotions so that we can actually start to just feel so much of the deeper rooted stuff and really get down to where the seeds were planted, not just the roots, but the seed. And going into those seeds and actually starting to, I don't know if healing is the right word, but transcending and transmuting what's actually there and giving it grace and integrating it back into ourselves, which I feel like has been a big theme for both you and I in this last 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 months mm-hmm. of coming back home to ourselves, where it's like, oh, this part, it's okay. Like, I can love this part. I can love my anger. I can love my sadness. I can love my hurt. I can love my shame. I can love all of these pieces of me, and I don't have to be afraid of them anymore. And I think that part has been so healing, to where it's like, now instead of building structure and systems in any context from a perspective of trying to avoid or suppress or oppress, we get to actually create structure and systems from a place of supporting the flow versus trying to contain it.
Right. That's something that I also realize as well, this structure. Why do we have this structure? We set up the structure because we believe that through our control, we can get what we want. But notice what happens when we don't. Usually what happens is we put the structure on ourselves. We can do it. We need to create it. We can do it. We can create it. When it doesn't work, we pray to God. We pray to the universe, right? But if we stuck in these structures, only looking at us and what we want to see and what we want to do and what we want to feel, if we ask the universe to send us something through our structure, we can only even see it if it looks exactly the way we want it to. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're asking for things and we might even be receiving them, but rejecting them. We must be able to go through the flow. And it's like a kid. I mean, we're children, right? We're all children. I don't care how old you are. We're all children in the eyes of the universe. And thinking that we know what's best for us and we know the flow and we know exactly how things are supposed to look like, would you do that with your child, right? Would you do that? Probably not, right? Because you could probably say, no, there's an even better way. And I know this isn't what you want right now, but this is an even better way. You're going to have everything and even more. You just kind of need to trust me a little bit. I've been here for a little longer than you. I have an even bigger, wider range of experience and knowledge. So I'm going to help you get what you want. You just kind of have to let go of that thing and trust me. Well, we kind of need to be able to do that as well. And these structures, this need for control and for things to look exactly the way we want, breaks that. It's not trust. It's not flow. It's not receiving what's coming in. It's becoming oblivious, and it's bypassing, or it's hiding, or it's creating false narratives. And to me, what I'm experiencing now is we ask for something and then just get out of the way and just let the universe do its thing. And our job is to be wonderful observers, wonderful students, right? Trusting children in the arms of the universe, and we'll have what we want.
Yep. And I think the biggest piece, though, the word that comes to mind here is it's that piece of surrender, right? It's like surrendering to your contractions to just kind of tie this all together. And I think that's kind of the big thing for both of our stories over the last 8 months, is we were so in resistance.
Oh, yeah.
That it was just becoming more and more painful until we didn't have the strength to avoid the pain anymore. And it was kind of like it was overwhelmingly intense and emotional at first, because there was so much that had built up, and it was like the dam had been broken in a lot of ways, right? Mm-hmm. Our ability to suppress the emotions was just, it was non-existent at that point. And it created this beautiful experience for so many of us where it's like, yeah, it can feel overwhelming at first, but it is the most beautiful experience because you got to really come back home to like who you really are. And for so long, we've suppressed our truth, trying to conform and contort into who we think we need to be, how we think we need to show up, how we feel we need to operate, all of it to whatever societal or cultural or industry standards are. And this is that piece of liberation where we give ourselves permission to feel and experience all of ourselves. And inside of that process, then we realize it's like, oh, when I just surrender to this and I feel it, the magic is, at first it's a little intense, but what I found is you start to move through things so much faster. And so when you no longer are in resistance of your sadness or your pain or your hurt or whatever it is, it's like, oh, I feel it. And I go into it and then it's gone in like 20 minutes. It's insane. And then I'm back to joy. And it's not that I'm trying to avoid and go into it by meditating or whatever it is, or journaling or walking. It's like, no, I go into it and I'm present with my emotion and I'm experiencing my emotion and I'm not trying to change it. But in the process of presence and in just being with it, it transcends itself. It's the most wild, counterintuitive experience. But it's like, in order to transcend the emotion, we experience and just become incredibly present with it. And that's where the transmission takes place.
Yeah. And with that, I really want to leave you, you know, dear listener, with a question. And I want to invite you to take some time by yourself in silence, and not 5 minutes, but a good while. And ask yourself, what have you been resisting that keeps on coming up? Could be a feeling. It could be a message. Maybe there's a feeling in you that keeps popping up, like intuition, that you've been avoiding because it's uncomfortable, or may mean doing something difficult, or asking yourself difficult questions, or thinking about things that may bring up discomfort. And then what if you just trusted yourself to be able to guide yourself through that. And instead of resisting, sat with it. And instead of trying to change it, just listened to it. And just keep listening and keep listening. And it might take a little bit for the messages to come through. It could be a multiple day thing, right, as you dip in, dip out. But I wonder what kind of realizations or truths or guidance you may receive from this. And I wonder, just maybe if you let your resistance down a little bit, maybe you can start or accelerate your healing process as well, or your alignment, or whatever you want to call it, right? I wonder what's been waiting for you to pay attention to it and just listen. Yeah. And with that, thank you so much for listening to our roller coaster of intensity, you know, and pain and beauty. And I hope that it gave you a little comfort to know that whatever you've been going through, you're not alone. That we're all going through something together. Whether we feel alone physically, you know, you're not alone. And there's a lot of strength here for you. And there's a lot of support and a lot of love waiting for you to wake up and reclaim yourself and to come home to yourself. So we're very grateful to have your energy with us for even a little bit. The next couple episodes, I think, will be much less intense. So that's fun too.
I don't know. It's kind of fun.
Who knows? Maybe it'll be just as intense. We're going to flow with it and see what we're called to share.
Exactly.
But with that, sending you a lot of love, and we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye, guys.